This is May the 7th. We're here in Seattle for Joe Patosa's 80th birthday party. And we're here with Stas Vengleski. And you and John Simkus, are you going to play together or you play separately?
Together and separately.
Very good. You're going to be one of the featured performers at the Accordion Extravaganza. And I want you to tell our listeners here today about your relationship with Joe Patosa Sr. and the Patosa Button Accordion.
Well, I think John Simk was one of the first who introduced me to Patosa's family.
When was that?
It was maybe like 5 years ago. I knew Patosa accordions. They used to sell it at Casio in Milwaukee. And then John Simkus once mentioned, why don't you try play Bayan? And I got so excited. We called Joe. Joe, right away, he ordered accordion for me. I got it 3 years later.
You ordered accordion and you got it 3 years later?
Yeah, they sent it a year and a half. Then we had to change something after 3 years. I am completely happy, and that's how I met Joe. And since every now and then I come here to perform for club, and like everybody saying here, how wonderful Joe family and accordions are, you know. Just so happy to be here at this event, you know.
Well, we're happy to have you here too, and I know the Patosa family is as well. Have you ever played or ever thought about playing the piano accordion?
I do play, not in front of people. I could play some songs. I've been trained since I was 5 years old classically. I went through music school, college, and academy, and every this college and university, we have piano as a second instrument. And I know keyboards very well. And I can play, you know, accordion. I don't do it, but I could play some songs like Chardash Monch or something, you know, waltzes, you know.
You've been trained classically, but you began learning the accordion at age 5?
Bayan. Yeah. We had like 12 bass or something like that, small Bayan, that's how it started.
And that was in Russia?
In Russia, yeah.
When did you come to the United States?
1992, November 9.
And why do you know the date so well?
I guess because it's my life completely changed since I stepped in the United States, you know? Because you...
Very briefly, tell us how your life changed once you stepped in the United States.
Well, Russia and America, there's lots of similar things and lots of differences, you know? First of all, language. You know, since I came here, forget Russian. I had to speak only English, and I spoke no English at all.
You know? 13 years ago, you spoke no English.
No English. I could say hello, and that's it, you know? And you can imagine, this is only one of the things that's changed, you know, language, you know. You come here like hopeless, you know, you don't get jobs, you don't know anybody, and none. I just knew my wife and myself. Before.
Well, how did you decide to come to the United States?
Well, she came here first, 2 months before I came here as a student for exchange program. She got scholarship, she played in wonderful string quartet, the award winner. And that I came here, and we just tried. And right after we graduate Moscow Academy of Music, you know. And since first day, maybe November 10th, we say, yeah, we're going to stay here.
Now, when did you meet John Simkus?
John Simkus, I met maybe, let's see, I don't know exact date. You know, don't ask me November 9th or 10th. Maybe 5 years after I saw him on a few occasions, and I know who he was, you know. But then there's some stories where we met, and when he became a president of Chicago Accordion Club, he invited me a few times to perform there, and that's how I met John.
And then you two started performing together?
Yeah, and Milwaukee and Chicago, it's not far apart. And Milwaukee Accordion Club and Chicago Accordion Club, I call them brother and sister.
Milwaukee, yeah. Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin,
right.
Yeah. And that's how we go there. They come from Milwaukee. Many people come. And with John, when, you know, I start compose my own music in 2000. Another date for you, January 1st. I woke up 2000. And I just decided to write a song. Just, I don't know what's happening. Just, boom. And I start writing for myself. I never would perform. Then friends come, I play songs. Listen, I wrote this song, listen, and some friends don't believe, you know, get out. Then I started to do it off, and then I wrote for some of my friends, duet, two ladies play duet. Okay. I wrote them for them first duet, it's called Let's Play Together. This song become, you know, everybody who listened to it played. And one time, I think it was in Orlando, with John came to ATG convention, and he says, I play your duet, if you could coach me a little. I go to him, his room, and I take accordion, I play second accordion, and he plays, and he was good. He was quite good. I didn't have anything much to say, you know, about my composition, about the way he played. And I say, John, tonight I'm performing, and you're going to be part of my show. He was, like, speechless.
This was in Orlando.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he went, he left, and he was, got so nervous, and then he did perform. And it went very well. And after that, somehow, he said, let's do a Chicago program together, and that's how we start.
And then you came to Phoenix, and I know you've toured some of the West Coast accordion clubs.
We do lots of solos and duet. Most what we do, like when we go to Europe, I play first sets and intermission, and we do lots of variety of duet. So it's fun. Different experience, because, you know, John is a good jazz player, and I'm learning a lot from, like, Frank Morocco and John, how to improvise, and I learned for 13 years quite a lot, you know. You say, what's changed, you know? Maybe a little style in my playing, different culture and everything, you know?
Tell me something. Well, what was the hardest adjustment for you, other than the language, of coming to the United States?
Very hard to say. You know, it's never easy for every immigrant. When you come here, you don't have money, you don't have anything, especially for, like, my wife and I, no friends, you know. And then this is period when you start to get jobs like what you don't like, dishwashing, you know, or security or housekeeping. That's what I've been doing for a good amount of years, you know. And I'm not saying it's hard. I mean, you work, and then when you start, people start recognize you as a musician.
Your talent, yes.
Talent. And then start inviting me, and my, all these housekeeping jobs reduced to zero.
Right.
And it was difficult time, very difficult time, you know. But now when you look back, you know, you appreciate this time, you know. You learn from this also, you know. You look all the things what you get now, you know, a little different than you, if you get it, you know. I think this is a hard time, but it's a good time, you know.
All right, now what I want to ask
what
you,
I think.
From all these travels that you've been doing with John, I know you toured most of the United States. What in your mind is the most memorable experience that happened to you from all of those travels?
Memorable experience?
Perhaps unusual experience that you might have had.
Always something happened. You never, I can't right away tell you, but sometime, you know, you go perform. You are in such a good shape before you go on stage. You know, you are good, you know, feel good and perform. It
you
goes
feel good,
bad.
The audience is up, you're ready to play.
I play, you don't feel it like it was successful. Sometime you feel like bad, or you're not warm up, or you feel performance goes well. You know, live performance, it's hard to say now, you know. I just have to think what's happened, you know. Practical jokes on John Simcoe, a lot I do.
You know? Oh, really? You play them on him, or you both play them on
each other? I play
them
on him.
Oh, you play them on him. Tell us about a practical joke you played on John.
Practical joke, like when we just started to perform, you know. John is very... I mean, he has a good sense of humor, but he learned about me, you know, then you have to just watch out.
We're going to have fun. Let this be known that Stas Van Gleski is a practical joker. Now, we're going to hear about one of his jokes he played on John Simkus.
I'll tell a nice one, okay?
Of course.
Because I'm not going to take a chance. We got together for rehearsal in the hotel, and I say, we're going to play two songs. One of them called Let's Play Together. Another one, Short Visit. Okay, and he's so responsible. His face, you know, he's ready to go like A-plus student, you know. And I start and he started, but instead of play together, I start short visits on. And he start, I say, John, what's going on? He said, oh, sorry, what are we playing? I say, we're playing short visit. Okay, he changed music. And I do it to him 5 times. Then he realized and said, hey, you.
Hey, you, yeah, you, right. What does he call you?
Well.
Does he have a nickname for you?
No.
Oh, not yet.
Better not.
But he will. Two more questions.
Okay.
Tell our listeners on the internet, tell them something that they don't know about Stas Wengleski.
Well, they don't know lots of things.
Well, what would you like to tell them that they don't know about you?
I'm a good guy.
Okay, you're a good guy. Why are you a good guy?
I don't know. It's a very difficult question. Let's do next one. Well, I play chess. I'm good in chess.
Really?
You play golf, I play chess. Do you play chess?
I have played chess, yes. But not the caliber of what I think you're going
one
to be telling.
One time I beat Grandmaster.
Oh, really?
It's a true story. I'm not going to make up. I don't make up things. I played German festival in Milwaukee. And after I finished, some of my friends came and they say, Stas, we know you play chess. There's chess stand and Grandmaster, like very high trade. He plays like against 30 people. You know, so he goes, you pay $10, you sit down, or $2, sorry, not 10. You sit down and every time he comes, you move, he moves. And he goes, and he beat like 40 people, 40 to nothing. And I sit down and I start playing, and after 10, 12 moves, this grandmaster come and he just really spent more time at my table, you know? And guess what? And position get worse and worse for him. I won. And they announce, we have first winner, I've got $25.
Yeah. Paid two and you made 25. That's a nice profit.
So, next day I went there again excited after second my show, you know? Draw.
Draw.
Another guy was from Chicago, even higher rated. But position was so hot, you know? I don't know if they need to know about
it. Oh, I'm sure there's chess players that are listening to this.
Position was so hot, and I know it's in my favor. I could win this game, but in order to win this position, you have to be really master. And I didn't know how to do it. And I took a chance. I offer him a draw, he shook my hand right away.
Really?
Because if I would do one move wrong, I would lose. You know? But he knew it's my game.
Oh, he was a gentleman.
He was a gentleman. So, I got $10 for draw.
Very good. Yeah.
So, what about myself?
We're gonna ask the last question then.
Okay.
You just said $10. I'm going to say 10 years. This is your final question. What is your timetable? What is your goal for the next 10 years?
For the next 10 years.
What do you hope to accomplish 10 years from now?
You know, lately I'm writing classic stuff.
You're writing classics?
Yeah, classic. I've been performing Gallerini concerto now many times. And now I'm thinking to write my own concerto.
Really?
You know, I'm seriously thinking about it, but I don't think I'm ready. You know, because there's lots of things involved. You have to be prepared. This is one of my goals. What else? I think I accomplished quite a lot. I'm not going to say about myself, but I published 5 books now with my I will just keep doing what I'm doing. You know, and to myself, it's personal. Maybe answer just to improve my, as a composer myself.
Well, Stas, it's been a pleasure talking to you today here at Joe Patosa's 80th birthday party, and we're looking forward to hearing you in the concert and seeing you return to Phoenix to entertain our guests in Phoenix. We had 4 standing ovations for you, I remember, when you played.
Oh, I don't remember.
I remember there were at least 4. That was a wonderful concert that night. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, too.
You bet.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure interviewing you.